Baruch.
Yeah,
it's important to recognize that nothing is going to be as you think it should be. Ever. As long as we're on the face of the earth. And the secret is to stop giving any importance to what the way you think it should be. Instead, give importance to the Holy One of Israel that's so ordered your circumstances to be exactly as they are. I mean, it's like, excuse me for talking about myself, but I hate it. I mean, I've been in constant, really bad pain for like 2 weeks now, maybe longer. And it's just wearing me out. I can't hardly lift my left arm. I can't sleep. I can't do anything. I can't hardly think. And nothing is as it, I think it should be. But in the midst of that pain, there's life. You've hustled yourselves long enough. Well, I don't think it should be this way. I don't think it should be that. I don't think it should be that way either. I don't think it should be this way either. The secret is I no longer care what I think. I no longer give importance to what I think is reasonable. I no longer give importance to what I think the way things should be. In my wildest dreams, this isn't the way God's stuff should be. Look around you. This is not God's stuff. This does not look like God's stuff. But yet a deeper component of me knows that it's everything. Some of you spiritually are in a state of exile. You don't know that you're in the promise. You're exiled from the people and from the community in your own mind. You're exiled somewhere else. And you're trying to think of all kinds of ways to get back to where you think you should be. And that's what this section of Baruch is about. It's your third chapter. It's the cry for repentant and exiles. You understand by definition, if you don't know you're in the total promise right now, then you're in a state of exile. You're either in the world, the wilderness, or Babylon. There's only four places you can be. The world, Babylon, the wilderness, or the promise. If you're in the world, life is full of options. You have all kinds of possibilities, and you're a kid in a candy store. If you're in Babylon, you're convinced that you've got to do this to do that. Limited options, but it's all cause and effect. If you're in the wilderness, you find out the wilderness is a place of absolutely no options, and you hate it. Anybody that says they like the wilderness is a fool. If you're in the promise, you could care less what anything looks like, what anything appears to be, because you know that you're seated with him in the heavens. This is from the book of Baruch. Baruch was, as for those of you who don't know, these are the readings for the fast of Ab. Baruch was Jeremiah's scribe, or secretary, or administrative assistant. O Lord Almighty God of Israel, a soul in anguish and the weary spirit cry out to thee. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy, for we have sinned before thee. For thou art enthroned forever, and we are perishing forever. O Lord Almighty God of Israel, hear now the prayer of the dead of Israel, and the sons of those who sinned before thee, who did not heed the voice of the Lord their God, so that the calamities have clung to us. Remember not the iniquities of our fathers, but in this crisis remember thy power and thy name. Again, the only thing that God ever appeals, that ever appeals to God, is to remember your holy name, God. That's why to be in the name of Christ is to be in a state where you are in a position where you know you don't deserve anything, but God, you're doing this for your name's sake. God has to respond to that, you understand? He has to protect his holy name. For thou art the Lord our God, and thee, O Lord, we will praise, for thou hast put the fear of thee in our hearts in order that we should call upon thy name, and we will praise thee in our exile. For we have put away from our hearts, away from our hearts all the iniquity of our fathers who sinned before thee. Now, have you put away all the iniquity of your hearts? From your hearts of your fathers? Have you left the gods of your fathers? My dad had some really dumb idols. So my dad had dumb gods. You know what the chief god of my dad was? War.
War?
War. My dad was a multimillionaire as long as the war lasted. When the war was over, he believed in Thor. He nearly did. He was a multimillionaire as long as the war lasted. When they declared peace, he went bankrupt. What?
Isn't he the Norwegian war god?
As before war.
German.
No, Norse.
Norse.
German gods.
Is it Norse war god?
All those guys, back then, they were all Germanic tribes, so.
He's got a war,
he's got a hammer. Kind of shared alike.
You don't understand. In Norse mythology, Germans were the demented cousins.
In Russian, in fact, the word for German is equivalent word stupid or idiotic.
That's right. Dramatic is a...
And?
So?
No, I'm serious. I mean, to my relatives, the Germans are the idiot cousins. My relatives believe in the superior races, but it's not the Germans that are superior.
How many countries has Norway covered?
They conquered all of the known world before your country became... That's only because you've got a Greco-Roman view of history.
Nobody knew. They came to America, there was nobody here.
Oh, really?
Everywhere they went, there was nobody home.
No, the point of it is, the gods of our fathers is what we have to abide with.
See you later. Justin.
Hold on.
Whoa.
I hope I got
too much drop.
Boom.
Okay. Behold, we are today in our exile, where thou hast scattered us, to be reproached and cursed and punished for all the iniquities of our fathers who forsook the Lord our God. Hear the commandments of life, O Israel, give ear and learn wisdom. Why is it, O Israel, that you are in the land of your enemies, that you are growing old in a foreign country, that you are defiled among the dead, that you are counted among those in Hades? You have forsaken the fountain of wisdom. If you had walked in the way of God, you would be dwelling in peace forever. Learn where there is wisdom, where there is strength, where there is understanding, that you may at the same time discern where there is length of days and life, and where there is light for the eyes and peace. Who has found her place, and who has entered her storehouses? Where are the princes of the nations, and those who rule over the beasts of the earth? Those who have sport with the birds of the air, who hoard up silver and gold in which men trust, and there's no end to their getting. Those who scheme to get silver and are obnoxious, are anxious. Same thing. Whose labors are beyond measure. They have vanished and gone down to Hades, and others have arisen in their place. Young men have seen the light of day and have dwelt upon the earth, but they have not learned the way to knowledge, nor understood her paths, nor laid hold of her. Their sons strayed far from her way. She has not been heard of in Canaan, nor seen in Teman. The sons of Hagar, who seek for understanding on the earth, the merchants of Maron and Teman, the storytellers and the seekers for understanding, have not learned the way to wisdom, nor given thoughts to her paths. Did any of you read the story in the Sunday paper today about Stalin?
I didn't.
You did? Did. Stalin had this incredible statement. He said, whoever controls the stories controls the world.
What stories?
The stories of your culture, huh?
Mythology.
History.
Yeah, it might take a few years to get there.
George Washington.
The sons, the storytellers, and the seekers for understanding have not learned the way to wisdom, nor given thought to her path. What is the way to wisdom, and what is the thought to her paths? The storytellers have not learned it. The storytellers have learned the manipulation of power. The storytellers have learned the manipulation of history. The propaganda, somebody said that the history is the propaganda of the victors. So what we know of as history, if we live in this culture, in this society here, is totally different than what we know of as history as if we lived in another culture. But yet, our ideas and our opinions, our life, is based on these stories, the storytellers. Now, based on what we said the other night, Thursday night, the story that most is given credence around in America is the romance. The idea that there would be life in romance. That there would be life or purpose in a relationship. And that's the story that's put forth. It's a story that's put forth in movies, especially if you were in my generation. It's the stories, those stories were in all the movies and all the books. Romance was romanticized. It's not so much that anymore in this culture, but yet, Harry believes in the story. Harry believes the stories. The stories that in a relationship there is purpose in life. And so he sells us all out every time he's confronted with the possibility of a relationship. He sells us out. He would sell us for a date. And you all recognize that. You sense it about Harry. You know what I'm talking about? You sense that he would sell us out for a date. Whatever selling us out means. And there's great humor about it. The reason he'd sell his father for a day is he doesn't really believe. He believes the stories that the storytellers tell. He knows not the way to wisdom. He knows not the path to understanding. The way to wisdom and the way to understanding is to know that there is no thing in the universe except the abandonment of self. There's no struggle that's righteous. There's no quest that's glorious. There's a lot of you that believe in the glorious quest. Purposeful quest. But you don't know the path to wisdom or to understanding. You're still convinced that the path to wisdom and understanding and knowledge is based in here. Or the path to wisdom and understanding and knowledge and function and purpose and life and resurrection is based in your heart. Or based in a relationship. Or based in a glorious quest. Well, what then is the way? It's none of those things. The way to wisdom is the abandonment of self, repentance. Repentance is a really incredible word, but it's such a word that is so subjective that you can convince yourself you've repented. Except in a community. Because if you elevate yourself above one person, it's the evidence that you didn't repent. And it's the evidence that you didn't know the way to understanding or wisdom to start with. You just said you knew the way. You know, you know what I mean? I told Harry today that his salvation is in the weakest people in the body. Because if there's anybody that he elevates himself above, that's the evidence that he's not repentant. Now, for some of you, there's a couple of you that are in the same ball game. You have not learned the way to wisdom nor given thought to their path to understanding. This is one of the next sections. You understand what I'm saying? You understand there's no way to prove that you've repented?
Mm-hmm. Even to yourself.
Especially to yourself.
Have I done it now? Huh. Okay, come out now.
The closest thing we ever get to whether or not there's repentance is in a hot seat. Anybody remember what a hot seat's like?
Oh, no. What is it?
What should you tell us about?
O Israel, how great is the house of God, how vast the territory that he possesses. You remember I told you about who's the Pulitzer Prize winner, the Israeli writer,
Saul
Bellow. He wrote that sometimes I think that there are two Israels. The one, territorially insignificant, small, is essentially meaningless in history. The other is as wide as all of history, as wide as all of time, and as broad as all of history. That is of immeasurably importance. Immeasurable importance. Now, he got it from this next verse, these next four verses. Listen. O Israel, how great is the house of God, how vast the territory that he possesses. It is great and has no bounds. It is high and immeasurable. It's great and it has no bounds. Can you conceive of a reality that overrides a reality? Can you conceive of a reality that is in all places and all times at the same time? If you can, then you can begin to conceive of Israel. She is wherever you are. It's the promised land. Wherever your feet touch, whether it's here or in the vast planets and stars and 1,000 solar systems. It's whether you ascend the highest mountain or go to the depths of the sea. Wherever your feet touch is the promised land. And the mystery is, it's not that stupid piece of real estate that's the promise. It's because you contain the component of eternity within you, and wherever you go is the promise. The beginning of understanding is to see that, because that would be the beginning of the fear of God. What do we do instead? We are seduced at every junction. We are seduced in all kinds of ways by all kinds of things to bring us out of the knowledge, to think that the promise is somewhere else than where I am. That something else is needed in order for the promise to be complete. And that's seduction, that's fornication spiritually. To believe that there is anything needed for you to have peace is fornication and adultery. It doesn't matter whether you actually go stick it somewhere. If you believe it and you act on that belief, because we've been bought with a price, and everywhere we are is the promise. And we consider that promise lightly by chasing it in the name of something else. And the problem is, the more we chase it after we've had knowledge and after we've heard, then the less loud the voice of God will be at the next junction.
Say that again.
The more times we commit fornication, the less loud the voice of God is. Until by the time it would be impossible to hear the voice of God. Because we've gone so far in here. Our hearts have been seared as with a hot iron because we follow the dictates of our own mind instead of His promise. And that's the danger that Harry's in. It's happened to him 100 times. It happened to him again last night. I don't even know if Harry will be able to hear voice the next time. And I'm not trying to put fear of Oli into him or into you. But there comes a time after the same over and over and over and over 100,000 times, and there's no more hearing. There's adhesions over the circumcision of the ear, that your eardrums are dull of hearing. Because you kept going somewhere else and somewhere else and somewhere else for the promise. The evidence that you go somewhere else for the promise is that you treat the brethren lightly. Israel, how great is the house of God and how vast the territory that he possesses. It is great and has no bounds. It is high and immeasurable. The giants were born there, who were famous of old, great in stature, expert in war. But God did not choose them, nor give to them the way to knowledge. So they perished because they had no revelation. They had no wisdom. They perished through their own folly. Who has gone up into heaven and taken her and brought her down from the clouds? Who has gone over the sea and found her and will buy her for pure gold? No one knows the way to her wisdom or is concerned about the path to her. But he who knows all things knows her. He found her by his understanding. He who prepared the earth for all time filled it with four-footed creatures. He who sends forth the light and it goes called it, and it obeyed him in fear. The stars shone in their watches and were glad. He called them and they said, "Here we are." They shone with gladness for him who made them. This is our God. No other can be compared to him. He found the whole way to knowledge and gave her to Jacob, his servant, and to Israel, whom he loved. And afterward, she, wisdom, appeared upon the earth and lived among men. She is the book of the commandments of God and the law that endures forever. All who will hold her fast will live, and those who forsake her will die. Turn now, O Jacob, and take her. Walk toward the shining of her light. Do not give your glory to another or your advantages to an alien people. I hate to say this to you, but when we took the cup of sanctification, we sanctified this body of people, and we made everything else commonplace. And if you are giving importance to anything else in the testing process, what you are doing is you are committing fornication. You understand that?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got this really important person that I've got to talk to. Oh, this person, it's just bullshit. It's just a way so you do not have to be in a state of obedience. It's a way so you can bullshit yourself thinking that you're important because you're going out and doing something important. The universe is here! And some have compassion, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh, but don't go out and try to put on their garment. Is that an egocentric position? Yes, you bet it is. Is that an arrogant position? It's in the most arrogant position on the face of the earth. Them who know God, hear us. Them who do not know God, hear not us. Hereby you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Can you imagine Jesus Christ negotiating with somebody? Thinking one person was more important than another in the out? Speak they of the world, therefore the world heareth them. Understand what I'm saying? Do you realize how seductive it is to think that someone that you're dealing with is important? And how damaging it is to the body of Christ? Do not give your glory to another or your advantages to an alien people. Happy are we, O Israel, for we know what is pleasing to God. What an incredible concept. Now, again, this is the reading for the Fast of Ab. And you got to see this, that Ed and Rick's Between the Straits can't be over until we finish this book. You understand?
Let's finish the book.
Read faster.
Is your dick finished?
Is your dick finished?
Dick.
Dick.
I wouldn't inquire about his dick.
It's not in the middle of Bible study.
It's not finished. It's not going to be now.
We're here.
This is the first of all of the Fast of Ab readings. The rest of the fourth chapter and the fifth chapter of Baruch will lead us towards a positive. Take courage, my people. O memorial of Israel. It was not for destruction that you were sold to the nations, but you were handed over to your enemies because you angered God. For you provoked him who made you by sacrificing to demons, not to God. You sacrifice, the word sacrifice means to give importance to. You give importance to demons. And not to God. What? You forgot the everlasting God who brought you up, and you grieved Jerusalem who reared you. Remember, the New Jerusalem is our mother. We call no man on earth father. We call no woman on earth mother. This is our mother. Behold your mother. This is the only place where you can be nourished and cherished without being nourished and cherished in the name of idols. For she saw the wrath that came upon you from God and said, she. So who is she now? She's wisdom, but who else is she? She's the New Jerusalem. Who else is she? She's the bride. She's prepared as a bride coming down out of heaven for her. How is wisdom revealed? In the abandonment of self. She's justified in her children. For she saw the wrath that came upon you from God, and she said, hearken, you neighbors of Zion, God has brought great sorrow upon me, for I have seen the captivity of my sons and daughters upon the everlasting, which the everlasting brought upon them. With joy I nurtured them, but I sent them away with weeping and sorrow. Let no one rejoice over me, a widow and bereaved of many. I was left desolate because of the sins of my children, because they turned away from the law of God. They had no regard for his statutes. They did not walk in the ways of God's commandments, nor tread the paths of discipline in his righteousness. Let the neighbors of Zion come, remember the capture of my sons and daughters, which the everlasting brought upon them. For he brought against them a nation from afar, a shameless nation of a strange language, which had no respect for an old man, had no pity for a child. They led away the widow's beloved sons and bereaved the lonely woman of her daughters. But I, how can I help you? For he who brought these calamities upon you will deliver you from the hand of your enemies. Go, my children, go, for I have been left desolate. I have taken off the robe of peace and put on the sackcloth of my supplication. I will cry to the everlasting all my days. Take courage, my children, cry to God, and he will deliver you from the power and the hand of the enemy. For I have put my hope in the everlasting to save you. Joy has come to me from the Holy One because of the mercy which soon will come to you from your everlasting Savior. For I sent you out with sorrow and weeping, but God will give you back to me with joy and gladness forever. For as the neighbors of Zion have now seen your capture, soon will they see your salvation by the hand of God, which will come to you with great glory and with the splendor of the everlasting. My children, endure with patience the chastisement that has come upon you from the hand of God. Your enemy has overtaken you, but you will soon see his destruction and will tread upon their necks. My tender sons have traveled rough roads and were taken away like a flock carried off by the enemy. But now take courage, my children, and cry to God, for you will be remembered by him who brought this upon you. The secret is you remember it as soon as you recognize it's from the hand of God. For just as you purpose to go astray from God, return with tenfold zeal to seek him. For he who brought these calamities upon you will bring you everlasting joy with your salvation. Take courage, O Jerusalem, for he who named you will comfort you. Wretched will be those who afflict you and rejoiced at your fall. Wretched will be the cities which your children served as slaves. Wretched will be the city which received your sons. For just as she rejoiced at your fall, and who is this city? This great whore that has deceived all nations, Babylon. For just as she rejoiced at your fall and was glad for your ruin, so will she be grieved at her own desolation. And I will take away her pride and her great population, and her insolence will be turned to grief. For fire will come upon her from the everlasting for many days, and for a long time she will be inhabited by demons. Look toward the east, O Jerusalem, and see the joy that is coming to you from God. Behold, your sons are coming, whom you sent away. They are coming, gathered from the east and from the west, at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing in the glory of God. Take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and now put on forever the beauty of the glory from God. Put on the robe of his righteousness from God. Put on the head of the diadem of the glory of the everlasting. For God will show your splendor everywhere under heaven. For your name will be forever, for your name will forever be called of God, peace of righteousness and glory of godliness. Now arise, O Jerusalem, and stand upon the height, and look toward the east, and see your children gathered from west and east at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that God has remembered them. For they went forth from you on foot, led away by their enemies, but God will bring them back to you, carried in glory, as on a royal throne. And that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for that great cloud of witnesses to be revealed, with the Son of Man coming in his glory, as a lightning comes across the sky, and the skies as time are rolled up like a scroll before our eyes. For God has ordered that every high mountain and the everlasting hills be made low and the valleys filled up to make level ground, so that you may walk safely in the glory of God. The woods and every fragrant tree have shaded Israel at God's command, for God will lead Israel with joy in the light of his glory, with the mercy and the righteousness that come only from him. So Abba and Albat. Isaiah 2:1 to Isaiah 4:6. Would you start reading, please, Mr. Darrell?
2:1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it.
Now think of that picture. It's the third time it says in Isaiah that it's on top of the mountain and all people are going to flow up to Jerusalem.
And many people shall go and say, come you, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and he will walk, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more.
Now, the word nation there is the Hebrew word am, and it doesn't mean nation like Russia isn't going to attack Israel or Israel. It means people. It means only those in the body of Christ are not going to lift up their hand anymore. And people in the body of Christ shall live in community by the Beatitudes, where violence is never rewarded. That's what this means. And this is what's being fulfilled. I mean, it's not waiting for some... Okay.
House of Jacob, come you and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of strangers.
Now, to please themselves means they find a satisfaction in the children of strangers.
Their land also...
Wait a minute.
Sorry, I'm a little more pregnant than I expected.
Soothsayers. Witches. Witches' cauldrons. Find satisfaction in the children of strangers. They gain their pleasure in the children of strangers. This doesn't just mean Harry. That's too easy. It means the people that gain their identity from getting converts. They find satisfaction in the children of strangers. They have no belief system in their own. They have no anchor in their own belief system. So they justify the false faith by making converts to it. Truth never needs justification. Truth will always try to push people away. You understand that? Now, the problem is when you think someone is important that you're talking to, you're gaining satisfaction in the children of strangers. You understand that? You become a respecter of persons, and you're subject to the whole law. If you become a respecter of persons, then you have to follow the whole law. No more gaining satisfaction in the children of strangers. That's not what we're about. We gain satisfaction in the Holy One of Israel, in Him alone. Not by some finessed theology that causes you to gain satisfaction in becoming a man-pleaser. Trying to draw people to God by telling them what God can do for them. This is a sick generation. There's a famine in the land, but it's not of bread. It's the famine of hearing the word of God. Yet they say he's with them, but he's not, for he's long since fled the staleness and hypocrisy of their structures, and like the wind he blew past their ways and their systems. For he will not be bound by the ways of the fallen creature. Learn from this and become wise in the wisdom from above. Okay.
Their land also is full of silver and gold. Neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands. that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore, forgive them not. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust, for the fear of the Lord, and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted Amen. In that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, upon every fenced wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, upon all the pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idol shall he utterly abolish.
And they shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth, for the fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty. And he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, the moles and the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty. And he arises to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? For behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, and the counselor and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and they shall rule over them. And people shall be oppressed, every one by another, every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave so proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. And the man shall take hold of his brother of the house, and his father, saying, Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people.
Okay. You understand what he's saying? They're saying, just they'll make somebody a ruler just because he's got clothes.
Everything will be so wrecked.
Everything is so yeah. wrecked.
It's like in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man.
Yeah. Okay, Torah woman.
For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen.
Now again, remember, what we're reading about is on the Fast of Ab, Jerusalem got wasted. There wasn't one stone laying upon another. And God said, praise the Lord. Because then the metaphor was over. It was time for the truth to come. The model had served its purpose. Now truth could come. Now, again, wherever you... Don't make this place a Jerusalem. Don't make here a place where you go for rules. You understand? Wherever it is that you've gone for rules and systems of behavior, that's your Jerusalem. Now, it is as if it never existed. No stone is left standing upon another. Okay?
For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves.
Okay, stop there a minute. Go to Revelation 11. This is the two witnesses. It says in verse 7, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. Okay, go back.
Sodom and Egypt. say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him.
Again, remember, righteous, from our standpoint, from everything we know of the scriptures, means those who have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Wicked, by definition, is the word Abam. Those that have continued in their own self-seeking, their own plans, their own ideas. It's their own ideas even of what God stuff is. You understand? It's anything other than the abandonment of self. But you got to finally understand from God's standpoint, wickedness is self-seeking in anybody's name.
As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead, and standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into his judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyard, and the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that beat my people to pieces, and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts? Moreover, the Lord saith, Behold, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their cauls and their round tires like the moon. What?
That's
very interesting.
No good here back there.
That's what I mean. It's like,
what does that mean?
I don't know.
I don't even know. Keep the
muscles. Now this is what I call prophecy. This was some prophecy here. As soon as will that part. Bracelets and the mufflers?
No, it's an ornamental headdress.
See? Well, we got tires. We got tires and mufflers and
huh?
I knew that. And the round tires. I guess that. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers.
What?
That's what I said. They're lowriders.
So that's the lowriders.
No, I don't believe it. He is the lowriders. The magnum can be lowriders.
He left us little carburetors.
He spared the carburetors.
I'm sorry, we got to run our own Bible.
Cut this out. The bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping.
Your little doggy in the back.
That's what everyone loves. Totally.
The glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be a stink. Instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of a well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war, and her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground.
Harry gets to read the next verse.
Oh, God.
Oh. This is supposed to be a cold shot. You even said you didn't know what the hell that meant.
And yeah. That day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach.
Did you figure out what that meant? Again?
This?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Tell me, you tell me.
That's not what I was implying, but I think it means that there's still a few guys around there just saying, hey, we'll take care of the bread, and we'll wear our own clothes and everything, but you be our covering.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but it's not because there's so few guys, there's so few that they would deem worthy of covering. Because
they all wear wimples.
They're all the other guys got wimples on.
All the rest of them are sensitive.
Oh, yeah. All the rest of them are 90s kind of guys. All in all, the 90s kind of guys.
They're keeping ornaments.
The balls that hair, they have bald.
Mincing as they go.
Yeah, but the balls that hair, they've got baldness.
Hey.
That's the way you go.
Baldness is sexy.
Oh, that's not the women. Oh, give me a break.
Sure, that's
and about wisdom is timing, Gary.
Yes, what is that you're telling me?
Yeah. Would you continue reading, Miss Jackie?
Oh, yeah. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, and upon her assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covenant from storm and from rain.
For a covert.
Covert. Sorry.
Now the Fast of Ab is officially over. Does everybody, anybody have anything to talk about? Everybody understand perfectly? Let's go to the big group. Take a big guy.